song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of grateful choir.
Trust in Jesus' name.
Christ alone. Cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Darkness seems to hide His face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak and strong, in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
In His righteousness alone,
for this to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's blood.
Risen from the dead, and He is Lord.
So I'm doing good. Anyway, scripture reading today, 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, through now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perished through its tested by fire. May you be found to be praise, honor, and glory to the revelation of Jesus Christ, in whom you have not seen you love. Through now, you don't see him yet. You worship him. You shall express joy, inexpressible. Only the faith of your souls. I just had to stop and listen to y'all. Thank you. We may dismiss our children who wish to be dismissed. Thank all y'all for coming out. It's good to have some of my family members here coming from Rockmart and Rome and various other places. I am much appreciative. But I'd like to speak to you this morning a little bit on where is your faith? That is the question. We hear the term a lot, just keep the faith. You got to have faith. I mean, how many of y'all heard that? A lot of times, you know, disbelieve, just stand on it, just be strong. Keep the faith. Believe it. But you got to ask yourself, what are you believing in? Where is your faith? And we have to examine ourselves to where is our faith? What is our faith in? Where do we get it from? If we run out, can we get on Amazon and buy some more? Can we go to Walmart, pick up a loaf of faith? I mean, can we? No. Where does it come from? True faith must come down from God the Father through the Holy Spirit into your heart. That's the only way you can truly keep the faith. You know, and there have been times in my life where I've tried to believe for something early on, you know, something I felt like God needed to do. I believe, Lord. Oh, doubt would come. No. I believe. You know, I just struggle and try, couldn't struggle no more, and nothing happened. Because it was fleshly. I was trying to force the hand of God to do something that I thought needed to be done that he didn't think so. And that's where the struggle comes in sometimes. And that's where you wear yourselves out. I wore myself out many a times. Oh, Lord, if I say the right things and I pray in the right tone of voice and I spend enough time fasting, and you know, and maybe you need to do these things, but you know, I'm going to twist your arm hard enough till you give in. I mean, I've tried that, and trust me, it does not work. But I have learned to get on the same page with him. Allow his Holy Spirit, okay, Lord, I'm facing this situation. You knew it was coming long before the creation of the worlds, before I ever knew. You already know, and you're already on the other end of it. So, Lord, guide me through this. I may not necessarily want to go through this, and it's uncomfortable, and I don't like it. But Lord, teach me what you're trying to teach me through this. Don't just go through it, grow through it. And that's some of the lessons in my, since I was 19, I'm fixing to turn 60, so right at 40 years of walking with Jesus, sometimes being dragged along by the hair of my head, sometimes being kicked in the hind end to get me going, and sometimes walking away and say, I quit. But you know what? He was there waiting on me. But in them 40 years, I've learned those things. Allow him to call the shots. Allow him to guide you. The struggle becomes so much easier. And some people say, well, you don't have faith. Well, you believe it if you want to. Trust me. I know whom I believe. And I know he's real. I've seen him in the spirit. I've seen his presence. I ain't seen him physically. Let me retract that statement. I hadn't seen God physically in the natural, because I probably wouldn't be here if I had. I'd be laid up with a coronary somewhere. But I have seen his workings. This is, if you see the wind blow, you see it move the trees. I see his spirit, his pneuma, you know, the spirit wind working in my life, working things out. When I face something that scares me, I hit the panic button too. Like, what am I going to do? Okay, Lord, you've got this. I don't know what's going on, but you do. Help me to get through it the correct way, in a way that honors you. Because that's what it's all about. It ain't about us. It's about him. And we are his witnesses, not his prosecuting attorney. We're a witness. We're called to witness to what we know, what we've seen, what we've experienced, not to convict, not to change, not to prove them guilty, but to be a witness. Because you got to go back to the place, and I remember I used to think I had to straighten everybody out I met who didn't believe like I did. I'll get you straightened right out here in a minute. But I've learned, you know, that didn't work for me either. I had them come to me, you're going to hell and you're going fast. And I was at the time. And I was trying to get there in a hurry. And if God hadn't intervened, I probably would be there. But thank God that none of my sin, none of my perversion, none of my whatever you want to call it, stopped his love for me. I've gave him thousands and thousands of reasons not to love me, but he hasn't listened to one of them. And I'm thankful for that. And you know what? I may give him more, but he's not going to listen to them either. He loves us so much, he can't take his eyes off of us. He's almost like the proud father. That's my son. That's my daughter. Look at them. Look at that. They're seeking me. They're walking with me. They're longing. I can't wait to get them home. I don't know about y'all, but we are already this morning in the prayer back there. The Spirit began to flow, and just the sweet presence of Jesus came in. And it's continuing here through the music, through the worship, and I'm hoping I can get through this without, you know. But where is our faith? I mean, I heard somebody say it might have been Pastor Grady. I might have heard it somewhere else. I have a terrible memory of who said what. I just remember what they said. Some people are looking more for the return of Donald Trump than they are for the return of Jesus Christ. Oh, wow. I don't know who said that, but, you know, I heard it last week, and I was like, that's true. Is your faith in the government, a president, a congressman, a representative? If you are, you're going to be let down. I don't care who gets to be president. I don't care who makes it. We're going to be let down. You know, because God has his hand upon us. And whatever happens, whoever gets in there, whatever they law they decree, whatever they change, whatever they do, they may take a lot of things from us, even our lives, but they cannot take our God away from us. Amen. You know, all they can do is kill the body, and they can do nothing more. And it may come to that, I don't know. If it does, then praise God. Do I want to die? No. I don't know many people that do. You know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die to get there. But death is total in every generation. For every 100 people born, 100 people die. Some die young, some die old, some die in between. But at some point, unless the Lord Jesus returns before that time, we're all going to face death. You know, you're born once, you die twice. Born twice, you die once. Something to think on. But anyway, where is our faith? I kind of want to start out. First of all, we must understand who our faith is in. Who is the man we call Jesus Christ? Yehoshua, Jesus, Joshua, Lord, Kurios. So many different languages and names he's called by, none of which can really accurately describe who he is. Emmanuel, El, the name of God, for God is with us. I mean, you could go on and on and on and on and on, and I know y'all, we could be here all day and pull out scriptures describing who he is, but let me let you in a little secret. A million years from now, when you're in glory, we will never completely be able to grasp and understand just who he is. Every time we see him, we will see an aspect in him that we didn't see before. Just like now, it will continuously. Like, you think it's the cherubim that stand before him, holy, 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 three holies, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, stand before him, and they look up into his face, and they fall down because they see something they never saw before. And they've been doing it for a long time. You'll never be walking around in heaven, oh, there's, hey, Jesus, how are you today? It won't be none of that. It'll be like, wow. you'll never get to the point where it becomes, you know, like we do. See, I have the ability to do something that Jesus can't do. I can look out and see my equals. He can't do that. For who is likened to the Lord? No one. We're all created. We're finite. He's infinite. He's always been. He always will be. He's not going to resign. He's not up for election. He can't be impeached. He cannot be removed. He is Lord all by himself. I think of when he was on the cross, you know, I mean, and you know, before the transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John saw that which was within begin to shine out. He could, in being righteous and just in doing so, let the light shine out, and the whole world would have fled away into nothingness, and he would have still been God all by himself. But if he had have done that, guess what? I couldn't have been saved. I would have been destined for hell no matter what, because if you've ever committed just one itty-bitty sin, you're guilty before God and you cannot be in his presence. You're guilty. You've broken the law. You've broken God's law and you are separated from him eternally. You know what? We all have a problem because we've all done it. I've done it more times than I can count. It's not a number that big. But you know what? Also, God had a problem. Yeah, God had a problem because he wants you in his presence. More probably than we desire to be in his presence, he desires us to be in his. So by doing so, he had to make a way. I think him and Jesus got together, you know, before the foundation of the earth. It was already pre-planned. Yeah, I'm glad because we were, you know, saved before the foundation of the earth. I was saved before I was born because he knew I'd be there, and I'm glad he saved me about things. He might have changed his mind if he waited now. But anyway, I'm so glad that he came and paid that price. If you read in the Beatitudes, I think it's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I may have a chapter or two off there. And if there was any way you possibly might be able to live through all of those scriptures that he talks in those three chapters, the last verse will slay you, because he said, be ye perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Game over. No replay. We cannot do it on our own, because Jesus prayed three times, if there be any other way. And I think his prayer would have been answered. If there had been any other way, God the Father would have stopped and said, yes, there's another way. But there wasn't another way. Only through his atonement, only through him can we claim our salvation and be saved. No other way. Sorry, no other way. Don't agree with that? That is your prerogative. You can believe it if you choose to. I can't change that. I can't change your mind. I only present the gospel. What you do with it is up to you. If I say something that's contrary to your beliefs this morning, I apologize. I may be wrong. You may be wrong. We both may be wrong. I don't know. But like I say, something that I heard, I think it was Chuck Missler's wife, Nancy Missler, said, you know, and I was thinking yesterday as we were in our men's Bible study, was talking about something that we kind of all didn't quite agree on, but it's okay. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. But in all things, agape. You know, I was like, wow. What are the essentials? We must believe that Jesus is who he is. And, you know, you keep on. There's several things that we must believe in unity to be brothers and sisters in Christ. Other things, well, I believe that this, and I believe that. Not a big deal. Not a salvation breaker, not a deal breaker. You know, you're still my brother and sister. We both may be wrong. I don't know. We'll find out one day. But anyway, where is your faith? I want to start out first with the Gospel of John, Chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, reading from New King James, says, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now we could stop right there and stay there all day. Maybe all year and longer. Verse 3. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In the beginning of what? I believe he's referring to, just my personal opinion, the beginning of time. When God stepped out and said, when he began to create, let there be light. That was the beginning. Notice he didn't make light bearers, I think, about the fifth day. So the light is coming from everywhere. No sun and moon and stars. It is there. But in the beginning, time began. See, we live in time. God does not. He is outside of time altogether. Everything that we know from eternity past to eternity present to eternity future, he is there all at one time. It's almost like if you're in the sky looking down at a parade, you can see the whole thing. If you're on the side of the road, you only see them come by one at a time. You got the past that's already gone, the present before you, and what is to come in the future. But God sees the whole thing. Bring it to modern technology. If you have a Blu-ray disc of a movie or whatever, that whole movie's on there, but you can only watch it one picture at a time. But it's all there. He sees the whole thing. We don't. That's who Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word. He was the Word. He is God Almighty in the flesh, who came, who stepped down. You got to realize who he was in the beginning. He put aside some of the things that he enjoyed to become human. That within itself is mind-boggling, that God Almighty would enter his creation and become human. Be born naturally. Live a life. Be tempted. Understand hunger. Understand hard work. Understand a lot of things that he couldn't comprehend without doing so. To live a spotless life. And go through what he went through to pay our salvation, that we may be saved. Now understand, once he died and rose again and ascended, he didn't go back to where he was before. He became a man forever. Now, I heard a story, I can't remember who done it, who said it, but it was, God gave this man a dream. He was going through space and he came to this planet that was just full of dogs, vicious dogs tearing each other apart. And he was like, I want you to go down and tell those dogs I love them. Okay, not a problem. But to do so, you've got to become a dog yourself. Oh, okay. Rottweiler, yeah. No, you're going to become a Chihuahua. You sure about that? Yeah, I want you to preach that I love them, but they're going to tear you apart. And they're going to kill you. But that's okay. I'm going to resurrect you. And you're going to remain a Chihuahua forever. What Jesus done is much further down than that. Why did he do it? For you, me, that you may be saved. We'll never be able to completely comprehend what it cost God Almighty through Jesus Christ that we may be saved. That if they don't put you on your knees, what will? If that don't touch your heart, what will? That's who our God is. That's who Jesus Christ is. How can I describe him to you? He's indescribable. How can I explain him? He can't be explained. How can I get across who he is? I can't. But you can begin to comprehend in your heart who He is. You can start today. You may have started a long time ago. Let it continue. Understand just who He is. Wow. I don't have any notes other than scriptures. And like I say, that wasn't planned. And I'm glad it wasn't, because I couldn't have done it. And it may continue. But second of all, we'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul here is encouraging Timothy. He said, "But you, O man of God," he's talking about things, if you read the prior verses, he's talking about sinful things. "But you, O man, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." Ouch. "Now, which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing." That's a big charge. But we are to do it. When we make a mistake, we confess it and move on. There's no guilty stains. Verse 15, "Which he will manifest in his own time," his time, "he who is blessed and the only potentate, King of kings, Lord of lords." In verse 16, whew, it's powerful. Hold on to your seat here. Mm-hmm. "Who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom is honor and glory and power. Amen." A different translation kind of puts it this way: "Who also is immortal, who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him honor and glory and ever forever." Whether you use immortal or immortality, whatever translation you choose to go by there, he lives in unapproachable light. If God Almighty in all of his glory were to appear right here, we'd all be evaporated quicker than a nuclear explosion. Whew. Our spirit would remain, but this flesh would gone. We can't comprehend or see him in this flesh. It can't handle it. You ever been in a situation or in a prayer where the Spirit of God is on you, you feel like he puts one more bit on you, you're going to explode? He knows that. He knows just how much we can handle. And there's times I feel like I was almost just choking up, couldn't handle much more. God, I can't just, but I love your presence. Don't let me lose this. And no matter what's going on at the time, the world may be falling apart. I may be dying. I may have this. I'm made whole at that point. You ever get in this, go to the altar or wherever you're in prayer, you got a bad headache, you're hurting something, your back's killing you, and they pray for you, oh, it's not hurting no more. And you walk away, here it comes back. What's up with that? Because those things cannot stand in the presence of God. When you're in that presence of God, those things have to flee away. You may think, well, he didn't heal me. I lost the faith on the way back to the seat. No. There was a time, you heard me tell it before, it's a number of years ago. I had, before this shoulder went bad, this one was killing me. My shoulder was hurting. We were just like somebody broke a knife off in there. And my back was hurting. And I forget, something else was hurting. And I just in a world of pain. And I had prayed, and I had prayed, and I had prayed, and it still hurt. You know what? I remember walking through there. I said, okay, Lord, if somehow my pain is glorifying you, then let it hurt. Let it hurt. God didn't heal it at that point. But he did it. He did in his time. He healed. He took care of it. Little by little, it kind of faded away. Had to have surgery on his shoulder. Within a year, hey, he's back to normal. Then just messed up later, but falling apart. But that's okay. Still here. Still here. But Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 18, kind of is very precious to me. And I'll explain why. All of it's very precious, but this is, has a special meaning. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 18. He is the image of the invisible God, talking about Jesus, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that all things made have his, he is, has the premises. But I want to kind of focus here on verse 16, that all things hold together by him. I remember the time, 2013, a lot of things were going on, things I won't get into, the really trying time at that point with a particular family member. And I'd done been to three doctors that didn't know each other. Within a month, practically told me, you fixing to die. Mm. Done had a scan showing, boy, you more clogged up than a 90-year-old man. You fixing to die. Get your house in order. You fixing to die. One of them went as far, write you a blank check. You fixing to die. Mm. You know what? And I was. I felt it. Barely could breathe. I wasn't hurting, but it was like a clogged drain. I was in bad shape. But I remember, I could take you back. If you've been out to Dillinger Park, if you come down Pine Grove right there, that white fence that comes along down through there, right about where it stops and it meets on the other side, I was praying, getting my house in order, if you will. And I began to pray. I said, Lord, I remember this scripture, that through you all things hold together. I said, wait a minute. That tells me all these clogged arteries, you're holding them together. And he was. And I said, Lord, I'm asking you to heal this without it being harmful. And I literally felt like my chest stretched out. Kapow, boom. I was like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Now, when God done that, did he make it complete healing just like the day I was born? No. But like Isaiah told King Hezekiah, you know, I'm going to give you 15 years. Now, he gave me more than 15, or getting close to it. I don't know. He gave me more time. Because I just had to have two stents put in last year. You know. But anyway, so that's the thing I'm saying. All things visible that you see and things you don't see, he is in the microcosm as long as the macrocosm. He is in the large things. He knows the small things. Right down to the atom, the nucleus, the subatomic particles. He knows them all. And he's holding them together. I won't get into much of this, but, you know, if you study an atom, you know, if you got a magnet, you put in and in together, it repels apart. You put south and north, it clings together. They can't understand why the nucleus and the electron are both the same positive charge, why they don't crunch in. What holds them from blowing apart? One day they will. He's going to let go and it's all going to come apart. They don't understand it, so they give it a fancy name. It's called nuclear glue. They don't understand why it holds together. I do. Because all things hold together through him. That's who our God is. That's who Jesus is. He's holding you, this podium, everything, the air, everything together. And I think sometimes, how many of us got up this morning and thank God that we have air to breathe? We take it for granted it is there. It don't stink. It don't smell bad. It ain't dangerous. It's oxygen, just the right mixture, just what we need is there. And he sustains that. He created that. He knows we need that. So he provides that. How many of you got up and got a drink of water this morning and didn't see something swimming around in it? clean water to drink. Do we thank God for that? Not everybody has that. How many of you woke up out of a bed this morning, you know, laying on a rock and somebody didn't wake up with a gun in your face or somebody trying to split your throat? How many of you woke up freezing to death this morning? It's cold. No, because you got heat in your house. You got air conditioning. Most of it when it's cold or hot, you got air conditioning. You got a refrigerator to keep your food cold, a microwave to warm it up, a stove to cook it. You got a car to drive. How many thank God for those things? Or do we take them for granted? Something to think on. I mean, I heard it said one time, what if you wake up tomorrow and only had the things you thank God for the day before? Some of it might be in trouble. Yeah. But anyway, it's something to think on. But one or two more that I may get into a message and I may not. It's okay, God, you're in control of this. I'd like to kind of go to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by his prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. And verse 2, and the rest of it in a different translation, reads this way. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had made or provided purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. That kind of makes it a little more clear to me that he is the exact representation of who God is. Was it Philip said, show us the Father, and it will be, that should suffice us. Philip, have I not been with you for such a long time and you don't recognize me? I think I've been like, uh-oh, at that point. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because he is the exact representation of the Father. He doesn't do anything unless he sees the Father do it. He doesn't say anything unless he hears the Father saying it. How, you know, he ain't listening, Father, you know, because it's all one. They're coming through. They're all in unity. But for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, as we get into the message, I'm going to give it a try here. We're going to see how far we get after I get a drink of water. You'll notice here in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, as it's called. Now, if you study these people, read about them, you're going to find out something about them. They're human. They had flaws. They made some mistakes. Some of them made some major mistakes. Some of them bloated. I mean, they face-planted hard. And I can relate to that. Because trust me, I do my share of it. If y'all knew me a little better, you might not have showed up this morning. You know what? If I know y'all a little better, I might not have either. But you know, Jesus knows us all, and he showed up. So you know what? If you're good enough for Jesus, then you're good enough for me. You know, bottom line on that. But you'll notice here, there's nothing negative said about anyone in this chapter. Because all of these that Paul, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Just on some things that I see his fingerprints all over it. You have a different opinion, that's great. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I believe it was intentionally not signed for some reasons I won't get into this morning. But the writer, I'll try to refer to as the writer of Hebrews, knew these had already met their eternal destiny, and they're cleansed from all sins. When Jesus rose from the dead, he took them into glory from paradise. So all things have been made new for these people. All the negative things are gone. History, never to be resurrected again, gone, out of here. But you would notice that there's nothing negative said. You know what? When we stand before him, and after the judgment we go through for the rewards where we will be placed at in eternity, nothing negative will be said about us. You won't have no guilty feelings. I remember back in 1985 when I blowed it. You know, I remember in 2021 when I messed up. You won't even remember those things. For all things will be made new in Christ. You won't wake up in the morning because you won't wake up here. You'll always be awake. No more having to go to bed because you're tired. No more aches and pains. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day. The older I get, the more I look forward to that day. But you know, we'll eternally be awake in fullness. And you know, I've heard a lot of people say we'll probably be around age 30. No, we won't. Age 30 will be mud in the ditch compared to what we're going to be. I believe we'll be clothed in light to a certain extent. We'll be the glory of the Father through Jesus. We won't have to walk anywhere. I believe it'll be teleportation. You want to go, you're there. My personal belief. I sit there and imagine, how's it going to be in heaven? Where are we going to live? I don't want no 15-story mansion with a big front yard. I just want to be in the presence of Jesus. I don't care what it is, how it is. Whatever he has for me, that's what I want. To be there. You know, that's my desire. But whatever it's going to be, it's going to be glorious. The colors, you know, you read about in Revelation, I believe that's reflections of light. John is trying to bring it down where we can understand it. And he's trying with everything in him to understand, look, it's beautiful colors reflecting from the glory of God hitting these jewels. And just, I've seen some laser light shows that were really good. That nothing compared to what we're going to see, what we're going to have, where we're going to be forevermore. A billion years from now. Now, I've asked the question, it's sort of like an attention getter. How long is eternity? Oh, it's forever. Yeah, it is. Okay? This is not the way it is, but if it were to be this way, and you were asked this question, what would you do? Okay. Because of who you are, you've got to spend half of eternity in hell and the other half in heaven. Which one do you wish to do first? Most people, well, I'll get the bad out of the way, I'll go and go to hell first. Well, guess what? That's where you would ever remain. Because there is no halfway point in eternity. It's forever. That kind of helps us understand it. There's no halfway point. I mean, I'm not speaking of purgatory here. I'm just speaking. There's no halfway point. You can't measure something that never ends. We had a beginning, but we would never have an end. God never had a beginning, nor will he ever have an end. He's always been. He always will be. And thank God, so will we in his presence. Okay. It's 11:30. I'm going to try to get started now. That was my introduction. take that clock off the wall and get your calendars out. No, we ain't going to do that. Well, we might. I don't know. I got all day about y'all. No. Verse 1, Hebrews chapter 11. This is called the Hall of Faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hope for, the evidence of things not seen. It's our substance of what we're hoping for. What are you hoping for this morning? New car, better house, better job, more money, All the things are great, and may God give them to you. May He bless you with those. But don't let them get before Him. When He said, you should have no other gods before me, He didn't mean I'm God number one, your Ferrari is God number two, your house is God number three, and so on and so forth. No, you should have no other gods in my presence. He wants to be number one on a list of one. And if He's not, well, we need to do some praying. I catch myself sometimes. I got a bunch of little gods I don't know about. I got little idols I don't know about. There's one. Here's another. Facebook, another. My computer's at home, another. Things I enjoy doing. And there's nothing wrong with those things if you keep them in perspective and use them correctly. Just be careful, because there's times I just get, especially, I love to fight with problems. Cyber problems, trying to figure something out because something ain't working right and I can't get it to work right. It drives me crazy. Short trip, but it drives me crazy. And I'll do it for days and days and days trying to figure it out. Can't get it right. And finally, I'm like, wait a minute. Jesus, You designed this. You know this software. You know this problem. Help me out with it. And sometimes, why didn't I think of that to start with? And it works. Other times I just had to let it go. Take a different approach. Try something different. But that can become a god. Your partner can become a god. Anything that you put before God becomes an idol and becomes idolatry. Any of y'all have a back room that you light candles and a little statue you bow down to? No. But we have things in times past we have bowed down to, whether it be the god of Bacchus alcohol, whether it be Ashtoreth lust, sexual immorality, all of those can be gods. Be careful those things. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's what you're hoping to get in Christ in eternity. It's the substance of things you hope for. And it's the evidence of things not yet seen. Your faith is firm and it is solid and it is real. It's the evidence that of surety these things is going to take place. I think it's in Ephesians, in one translation, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. It's almost like, if you're going to buy something, you're going to make a deposit. That's the surety that I'm coming back to pay the rest. The Holy Spirit in you is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance in Christ Jesus. Wow. Verse 2, we're making real progress here. For the elders attained a good testimony by faith. We understand that the worlds were formed by the Word of God. Stop right there. God one day, let there be light, and light come into existence. Let there be the earth, and the earth was formed. Let the waters separate. Let all these things take place. He hung the stars. He knows them by name. He put everything where it needs to be, whether it's an illusion or whether it's physically real. I don't know. But there it is, the vastness of space. Okay? If space never ends, and if it does end, what's on the other side of nothing? It's not empty space. How can you have nothing? Boop, fuse blowed. I can't comprehend nothingness. But there was nothing, and God spoke it into existence, and shoo, there it was. You're talking about having to watch what you say. when Jesus, when He was raising Lazarus from the dead, He had to call him a name, because if He had said, come forth, they all would have come forth. But one day, if He don't come back first, I'm going to be in that grave, dust and bones and whatever He has left of me. I'm going to hear my name. Danny, get up. And I'll be resurrected. There I'll be. Lazarus, after being dead for 4 days, got up quicker than I do. He'd get up in the morning. I mean, here he is laid there, bloated up, changing color, smelled pretty bad. Lazarus, come out or come forth. Whew. Completely healed, heart beating, blood back to normal, wrapped up now. But Jesus has set him free. See, Jesus done what we couldn't, but he had us do what we can. Jesus, I mean, I've never really had Jesus do things that he's designed me to do. I mean, he designed the food and whatever, you know, but he's never went there and made me a sandwich and brought it to me. I had to get up and do it. He provides, I like to put it this way, when his super meets our natural, or our natural meets his super, however you want to word that, that's how it all changes. So, latter part of verse 2, so the things which are seen were not made of things which are invisible. Okay. In verse 3, okay, I read that. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he attained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it being him being dead, yet he still speaks. Now, let's go back to that story for a minute. Cain and Abel. These two boys were more identical twins than anyone who's ever been. There was no father's side, mother's side. They were both created because Eve came out of Adam. They both were born two boys. They didn't have the peer groups. There was no one else around. They didn't go to school. They didn't, you know, hang out with the buddies. They were exact. But Abel wanted to do things God's way. Cain wanted to do things his way. Now, Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. He growed a garden. And I know Norman's got a garden. You hear him talk about it sometimes, but he has to work hard in that garden all day. Not all day, but work, you know, keep the weeds out, make fertilize it, and make sure it's watered and take care of and all this stuff. That's hard work. But Abel, keeper of the sheep, you basically got to watch them, get them watered every now and then, feed them, and you sit around the shade tree and watch. You know, a little easier. So the sacrifices were set up when Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden. I won't get into that because we'll be here to 4 o'clock especially. But the sacrificial system was set up that through the shedding of innocent blood, an innocent substitute who can be saved. It's never changed. It's always been that way. Always will be that way. Jesus shed his blood once and for all. So when it comes sacrifice time, Abel went and got him a sheep or whatever, you know, and brought it before God, knowing that he was sinful. So he's offering an innocent substitute in his place. Cain brought his fruits and vegetables and cucumbers and watermelons and whatever else. You know, here, God, here's the fruits of my labor. Abel's sacrifice was accepted, but Cain's was not. So the first question I got to ask is, how do they know which one was accepted, which was it? Something to think about, okay. I'll tell you how. You can read about it in, I think it's 2 Kings, one of the kings. When Elijah, when he made the sacrifice, the fire of God failed and consumed it. I kind of feel like upon Abel's fire came in and consumed that offering, accept it. God fired his wrath down on that innocent offering and burned it up so Abel could be sinless before him by looking forward to the Redeemer that's coming that already been prophesied. Cain got a little upset. You mean I worked hard all day and I did this and you don't accept my offering? And he got mad. And God warned him. You know, you got to overcome this. You know, if you do what is right. If you can do what is right. It's a choice you must make. And I've heard it said, or I may have said it myself. I don't know where it came from. It don't matter. We talk about freedom. Well, we're free in this country. Not really, but we've still got some of it. You were set free in Christ. Free to do what you want to do? No. free to do what is right. You still have the choice to do wrong. You can do wrong if you choose to. Trust me, I've done enough of it. But you will pay the price for it at some point. And the longer it takes, the more the interest is going to build, and the more price you're going to pay. Oh, I ask for forgiveness. Yeah, God may forgive you for it, but you've still got the consequence to deal with. Some of it's life-changing, some of it's not so much, but your wrong will catch up with you. Things I done in the early years are still catching up with me. You go out and have sexual immorality with your girlfriend or whatever, and you wind up with a child. That's life-changing. You got to deal with that. Catch some disease, you got to deal with that. You know, you get caught by her father, you wait, you feel a shotgun in the back of your neck, you got to deal with that. Something to think on. I mean, yes, it's fun at the time, it's pleasurable at the time, but that season's going to come to an end, then it's time to face the consequence of your sin. And you don't want to face it alone. You want to get it under the blood. Jesus can and will forgive you of that, but you still may have to pay a price for what you've done. Like, I can run up here today, okay, you know, I'm going to rob First National Bank of Bartow County here. Give me all your money. And I get a couple $1,000, whatever, you know, and I, wait a minute, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. I take it back. Guess what? I'm still going to jail. God forgive me. I forgive him. I'm still going to jail. I'm going to be there a while. I may get shot in the process. I'm forgiven, but I still got to face face that consequence of my sin. Paul did. He persecuted and maybe even slain Christians and put a knife to their throat and says, blaspheme Christ or I'll kill you. Some of them blasphemed. Some of them died. Until he met the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings on the way to Damascus, and he knocked him off his horse or his donkey. He's like, he couldn't see, the light was so bright it blinded him, physically blinded the man. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I don't believe it was, Saul, what are you doing? It wasn't a mean voice, it was a broken heart. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. Imagine what was going through that man's mind at the time. The one he's trying to destroy, realizing, wow, everything I've been taught, everything I've studied to learn, everything I know, for 3 days he had to mull over it. Wait a minute. He began to put Isaiah 53 together with what Jesus went through. He began to put Genesis together. He's like, whoa. And God spoke to Ananias, you know, Ananias, go see Saul. You know, he's like, he's here to kill me. Lord, you're trying to trick me on this one. You're going to send me to this guy's going to kill me. What are you up to, Lord? Go, he said, for he is my chosen vessel. Ananias, okay, Lord, I hope you know what you're doing because I don't want to go. But he went anyway. Sometimes you got to do things scared. Getting up here this morning is a little scary. But Kayla, thank you for encouraging me this morning. She reminded me of something that I've said before. God has never let me down. He's not going to start today. And that is true. Now, I remember that first time it happened. You know, I told the story when I was beat up, wore out from work that week, going in to teach Sunday school. And I was like, oh, this is going to be disastrous. And I reached out to get my Bible, at times a paper Bible. It's like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, have I ever let you down? No, sir. I'm not starting today. Get in there. And we had a glorious time. It was great. But, you know, you look at Saul, what he went through. Ananias, I'm sure he went and knocked on the door. And there before him is Saul. He can't see him. He walked in, Brother Saul. the Lord done dealt with Ananias on the way. This is your brother. He is a saved vessel. Receive your sight. And his scales fell off his eyes and he began to see. And he got up and ate. And immediately he began to preach that Jesus is the Christ, is the Lord. And he knew the scriptures had put it together. A changed man. There's not a heart God can't yield. Trust me, you see, that person's never going to change. Trust me, God can change them. He changed me. Depending on who you ask, what time period you people who know me, who knew me, would be like, huh? you don't mess with him. He's doing what? He's teaching the word. He's going to church. The roof didn't fall on him. Him? I remember my mom before she passed away, you know, she got saved, gloriously saved after years of prayer, you know, she got saved and church she was going to, she was looking around and she said, I seen people I used to hang out with in the bars. What are y'all doing here? And she said, they're probably thinking the same thing about me. What are y'all doing here? Jesus is why I'm here. And I was in a bad place in 2005, but I remember going to church with her, you know, and praying God fix this, the situation. It was already busted and timed for it to end, and he didn't fix it. Thank God he didn't, because it didn't need to be fixed. It was need to be swept out of the house. But to have my mama pray with me, to hear Amazing Grace being sung, her raise her hand, I thought, wow. Last word she spoke to me, and I've said it many times, and I'll continue to say it. Last time I saw her alive, and I knew it would be. I told the story how that I went to meet her at church that Sunday, and she wasn't there, and I called her, and she just said, not feeling good. And I said, I just go back home. The Lord stopped me. Right in the middle of my rebellion, right in the middle of my sin, he stopped me on the side of the road and said, go see your mama. It's the last time you're going to see her alive. I was like, nine. So I went and saw her glorious time. The last word she said, son, I wish you'd get back in church and find you a good Christian girl. If you do, the Lord will help you. Mm-hmm. That was her thing. She didn't know I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me, but she knew one thing, the Lord will help you. See, it helped her. Now, she was about as country as you can get. She marched to a different drum beat. She was who she was. But she knew one thing, the Lord will help you. And you know what? 6 months later, he did. Changed things around. A few months after that, Maria came along. I found me a good Christian girl, and I got back in church. And you know what? The Lord has helped me, and he'll continue to help me, and he'll help you. Just like he helped Paul. Paul finished the course. I've run the race. I finished the course. Here's Paul knowing he's fixing to have his head cut off. He's encouraging Timothy. Here's Jesus fixing to face the cross. He's encouraging his disciples. Here they are arguing about who's the greatest. Jesus is like, I'm fixing to die. Y'all were, who's the greatest? Because they was thinking of a different kingdom. They had to learn that their theology was wrong. I've had to swallow my theology a few times and realize I was wrong. And I'll continue to do so as God begins to correct and change my heart and mind. But anyway, the offerings were accepted. Verse 5, we may get to 6 or 7, I don't know. Don't care. God's got this. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he had taken him, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That he walked with God. Enoch walked with God 300 years, I think it was. And God took him. If you look at this, now I know there's different beliefs, but bear with me on this. If you look at this, he is a symbol or a model of the rapture, if you will. He was removed before the flood came. Matter of fact, there's an ancient prophecy, I think, I don't know where it came from, it's not in the scripture, but the year Methuselah would die is the year the flood would come. His death shall bring. That's what his name means. If you put those names together, it's beautiful. I don't have it. I ain't going to try to do it from memory. but his death shall bring. Yet he is the oldest one recorded in Scripture, 969 years. That is a picture of God's grace, long-suffering grace. The year Methuselah died, the flood came. Now Enoch was removed prior flood, raptured out, symbol of the church, I believe. They were those that were preserved through the flood, through the tribulation, the eight on the boat and all the animals. And there were those who perished through the flood. Just the model, if you ask me. You know, the angels, when they come to Sodom and Gomorrah, they told Lot, who had compromised, who had gotten all kind of stuff, but still it just eat at him because he was a righteous man inside. The angel said, we cannot do anything until you're out of here. Not that we won't, we can't. You've got to be removed before the wrath of God comes. He compares us as a husband and wife. You know, I mean, before our honeymoon, I didn't pour up my wrath upon my bride. You know, I didn't throw fire and stones at her, nothing like that. You know, that's his towards us. We're his bride. Just my thought. You know, I'm entitled to my own distorted opinion. Mm-hmm. If you have a different, that's great. We'll find out one day. We both may be wrong. I don't know. This is my way of thinking. Verse 6, we may have to wind it up here because we're running out of time in a hurry. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay. But without faith, you cannot please God without faith. And the faith does not come from you. It is not your faith. He gives it to you. Just like he gives you the grace, he gives you the faith to believe in him. How? Because you see him with your heart. You experience him in your emotions. You experience his spirit in different ways every day. He gives you that faith, that you grow in that faith every day through trials, tribulations, through good times, through bad times. Through it all, he gives you the faith that you need to know who he is every single minute. I forget the guy that sang the song. We almost said it this morning in our prayer. Every moment of every day of every hour, oh Lord, I need you. David, somebody sings that song. It's beautiful. Wow, yeah, it's so true. We do. Good song to look up. You may already know it. But anyway, it is impossible. Can't happen. No matter what, cannot happen. No shape, form, or fashion to please God without faith. You must believe that he is a rewarder of those who occasionally seek him. No. Those who diligently. That means, that don't mean all the time. That means, but your heart is longing for your God. Longing to know him. Longing to be with him. That's diligently seeking him. Studying his word. Diligently seeking him. He shall reward you for that. He gives it to you free of charge. And he rewards you for having it. You can't beat a program like this. You cannot beat a program like this. Let me find, I want to read one more thing. I may have deleted it. I don't know. There it is. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily entangles us or ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, that's something to think about, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now the priest, Jesus is our high priest, as they ministered, there were no chairs in the tabernacle because their work was never done. It was always something to do. When Jesus went and sat down, because his work was done, He's not done. We're not done. But the plan of salvation and born again has been completed. Nothing more to do. Can't add to it. Can't take away from it. Try to add to it is blasphemous. Trying to take away from it is something, you know. But you can't change it. It's done. Completed. Now, he sat down at the right hand of the Father, which is considered the power and authority, a place of honor. But I find him standing occasionally, especially when Stephen says, "Look, I see the Son of Man standing at the right." He was like, "Come home, my child, to receive one of his own." And I personally believe, and I'll find out one day, if when it comes time for me to breathe my last, that I'm going to see Jesus saying, "Come on, my child." "But Lord, you don't know what I've done." "Yeah, dude, enough's gone. Hush, come on. Get your shoes on, let's go." You know, I mean, and can you imagine that moment? As you close your eyes in this world, and it fades away, and all of a sudden, boom, light, Jesus, angels, your loved ones, a different reality altogether. All them tubes and pains or whatever had you needles in you, they're not there no more. You don't feel them. You look around, oh, different, wow. Imagine that moment. A little story I heard, it's kind of humorous. This old couple, you know, they died about the same time, and they was walking down the street of heaven one day, and the old man looked to the old woman and said, "You know, we could have been here 10 years earlier if you wouldn't have been so health nut. That's a health nut, you know." But the thing is, at the appointed time, he knows the day of our birth. He knows the day of our death. In this life, it's a dash in the tombstone. Mm-hmm. Here lays such and such, born this day, died this day. That's all it is, a dash between two dates. Mm-hmm. You're laying underground. It's coming to an end. Whether it's 100 years, whether it's 1 year, it's all coming to an end. But there's coming a day, that ground, I don't know. I mean, everybody has different ways they think it's going to happen. The first resurrection, the ground may burst open and the casket fly out. Now, I don't personally think it'd be that way. I don't know. It might be. But I do know this. Whatever's left, whether it's just dust, is coming together. And it's coming out to meet your spirit and soul, reunited, glorified body. When he steps out of heaven with the voice of the archangel and says, "Come forth." Whew. They're all coming forth. He knows his own. They're coming forth. And we which are alive and remain. Come on. I believe it'd be instantaneously. Scripture says the twinkling of an eye. If you break it down into Greek, it means the time that light travels between your eyeball to your retina. It's that quick. I don't know that our clothes and everything going to fall behind and we'll go flying through the sky clothed in light. I don't know. Maybe. I personally think it would be that quick. Just in the presence of God. Whoa! Imagine, this is not fantasy, this is reality, and it's coming. Where is your faith today? What's your faith in? Do you have faith? These are the questions you've got to ask yourselves. I can't answer them for you. Are you diligently seeking Him? Do you trust Him? What are you trusting in today? Question we must ask ourselves. Where are we at? Remove all guilty stains. You may have blown it over the years. I know. I don't think many of y'all could do much worse than I have. Things is unspeakable. I've done them all. Thinking I won't even get into all that. But you know what? They're all gone. They're forgiven. They're wiped clean. And so are y'all. If you've asked for forgiveness and you've confessed to Him, "Lord, I knew it. I did it. Forgive me." He did. Now the devil's, "You remember, you shut up." You know, there's part in scripture, you know, where the man cried out with the spirit, "You are the Son of God." And Jesus said sternly, "Be quiet. Hold your peace." Modern vernacular, you know what he said? "Shut up and sit down." Sit down and shut up. That's basically what he said. You could translate it that way, the McGee translation. Because it says, you know, hold your peace. One translation is, be quiet. He said, be quiet sternly. He didn't say, he said, shut up. Demons went flying everywhere. Come out of that man, he's made whole. He has command. Where is your faith today? Where is my faith? Without it, it's impossible to please God. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for taking me over today to teach this word, Lord. It didn't go any way I thought it would. And for that, I'm glad. Because, God, it went the way you wanted it to go. Father, I believe you've touched hearts online. You've touched hearts here. You've touched my heart, Father, to more diligently seek you in your glory, in your righteousness, and who you are through your grace. Father, I pray that you burn these words into the heart of the people who have heard. Father, let them become a fire that ignites in their heart to come to know you, Lord, in your fullness, to surrender their selves to you, that they may be born again into the kingdom, the eternal kingdom of our God and Savior and our Lord. Father, I place this in your hands, and I trust you with it, Father, and it is yours. I let go of it, and I give it to you, Father. Thank you for using me, Lord. What an honor. What a greater honor could a man ask for than to be used by you, Lord, and know you, Father. Be with us, Father. Be with Pastor Grady and Jennifer as they come home, Lord. Be with those who are traveling, those who are watching this online in some other country, Father. Touch their heart. Bring them in, Lord, closer to you, for that day is drawing near. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. We love you, we praise you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Nick, could you turn the house mic on? The house mics real quick. Is there any announcements we have for next week? Like, late, go ahead, stand up, say it, Marsh, so anybody can.
We have women's Bible study this coming Saturday. I will send out a reminder, and Norman will send out a reminder, but it's this Saturday, 9 to 10:30.
Anybody else? Anything else?
I think this Wednesday's a Bible study. Yes, this Wednesday's Bible study, 7 o'clock. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And please pray for Loretta. She's going to the doctor's tomorrow. That's all I'm going to say. Pray.
Tony, put your hand up.
Yeah. This past week, I run into people who are essentially, it seemed to me that they were being pursued by problems. There was a murder created in our neighboring town. And I would just like everyone to pause for a moment and ask the Lord to be with those families that are going through so much that we tend to forget them. And I believe that it is our purpose. And I know everyone here to be a light. And that as we go out today, that we shine the Lord's light and blessing to all those people we need in passing.
Amen. Amen.
We have heard God's word. We have praised Him in song. We have shared. Jesus, stand there.
Fellowship of you.